The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to a very special live UFC 254 preview show right here on MMA Fighting. It all goes down tomorrow in Abu Dhabi. The wait is almost over. Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Justin Gaethje for the undisputed lightweight championship of the universe. And I am so freaking excited for this fight. I am excited for this card. And I'm excited to talk with all of you about all things UFC 254, the culmination of this particular trip to Fight Island for the UFC. And I sure as hell am not doing this alone, as we're being joined by the rest of the, normally I would say the tripod, but there's four of us here. So first, let me introduce one of my colleagues, somebody who may be happier than anybody that this Fight Island trip is culminating, but the man has been working like a madman in Abu Dhabi for well over a month now, Mr. Jose Youngs. How are you, buddy?
I am great. I can't wait to get back to the United States. Hopefully my car works when I land. But yeah, we got to get through, and honestly, if I have to stay an extra week to watch Khabib Nurmagomedov third down Justin Gaethje, I'm not going to complain, but I can't wait to get back to the United States. But bring on Khabib and Justin Gaethje, the greatest lightweight fight in UFC history.
All right. And of course, we have the Prince of Positivity, the star of last night or earlier this morning's UFC 254 weigh-in show, in my opinion, Mr. Alex K. Candy Lee. How's it going, my friend?
Are we still here? Obviously, Jose's feeling it more, but I really feel like I was just talking to you guys 10 minutes ago. I can't believe it's been however many hours. It's been probably not that many, but
welcome to purgatory.
Yeah, welcome to purgatory. Welcome all our viewers to purgatory. So what a wonderful greeting. So thanks everyone watching now and who will be watching later on YouTube.
And of course, the producer extraordinaire, the fourth voice, the man, the myth, the legend. Now, right now, he has the best mustache in all of MMA media. Casey Lydon, how are you, my friend?
I'm not going to complain as much as AK does, but it's going good. I got coffee. My Beavis and Bede coffee mug, so we're good.
Awesome. I forgot it's early morning over there. Good God.
What time is it
coffee
there?
Hours.
It is a nice early 9:30 p.m.
Oh, so right about now should be probably tomorrow night is going to be the last fight on the prelims.
Here's the thing. With my luck, I might get in a car crash driving to the platform.
Okay, that's not
dark start.
That's a bad energy.
People have literally come up to me and be like, can you take a different flight home?
All right, well, let's turn this thing as positive as possible because, listen, we're live. We want to talk with all of you. So if you have thoughts, questions, et cetera, about tomorrow, leave them in the chat. We'll get to them. But first, Jose, let's talk about this main event because you mentioned it and I want to get your reasonings why. But we got Khabib Nurmagomedov, 28-0, widely considered to be one of the most dominant, if not the most dominant fighter to ever step foot in the octagon, taking on a man that just might be crazy and intangibly gifted enough to be the one in 28-1 in Justin Gaethje. And I've asked a lot of people this question, so I'm curious to get your take as to why. But obviously the buildup to Khabib versus Conor made it clearly the biggest lightweight title fight of all time. Heck, the biggest fight in UFC history, bar none. The fight played out the way most people, I guess, expected it to, especially with Conor having such a long layoff. But this one, Jose, this fight tomorrow between Khabib and Gaethje, there are a lot of people, a lot of fighters who believe that Justin Gaethje will do what no man has done before. So with that being said, storylines, the greatness involved, stylistically on paper, why do you believe that this is the greatest 155-pound title fight in UFC history?
Well, Khabib is, well, first answer, Khabib is the greatest lightweight who has ever lived in mixed martial arts. Undefeated. I think this would tie him for the record for most title defenses ever. I think with Benson Henderson and BJ Penn, obviously, I think the answer is three. So this would be the third one for Khabib Nurmagomedov, if I'm not mistaken. So it would be he beat Al and then he defended it against McGregor. Poirier, obviously, and then this would tie him for third. So he's going for history there. He's undefeated 29-0. He's lost, I think, Justin Gaethje himself said he's lost one round technically on paper, but in Justin Gaethje's mind, Khabib has never lost a round in the history of mixed martial arts. So for all this talk a few years ago of, is Ronda Rousey the most dominant fighter in the history of MMA? I'm pretty sure the answer is Khabib Nurmagomedov, because he's fought in these 5-round fights. He's fought in 3-round fights. He's fought in from, he started from the bottom. He went up and he's still not lost a round. He's not lost a round to the lower tiered fighters all the way to the top of the top of the mountain. So he's to call him dominant would be an understatement. You know what he's going to do and you can't stop him. And then Justin Gaethje is, I've described him as a weed whacker with chainsaws attached to it in an unlimited supply of energy, because he doesn't stop. He doesn't feel pain. He enjoys blood. He also happens to be a phenomenal wrestler too, with, as Khabib Nurmagomedov said, dynamite in his hand. I'm supposed to try and say dynamite, by the way. So yes, if I have to pick one fighter who's absolutely crazy enough to beat Khabib Nurmagomedov, it is Justin Gaethje. He's not. You're not going to mentally break him. You're not going to physically break him. And I can't. I don't see a lot of scenarios where Khabib does what Khabib does to him. Not that he won't win. But Justin Gaethje is one of those guys that his wrestling is on a level that I don't think a lot of Khabib Nurmagomedov's opponents have had. And he also hits hard. And Javier Mendez has said he has the best leg kicks in the game. So we're getting a lot of answers of how Khabib can stack up against a fighter of Justin Gaethje's caliber. There's no trash talk. So yes, this is the absolute greatest fight in the history of the lightweight division. There's no trash talk. It is the definition of a high level mixed martial arts competition, and my body is ready.
AK, we talked about this in Between the Links. There's a difference between biggest and greatest. Do you agree with Jose that this is the greatest lightweight title fight on paper in UFC history?
I mean, if we're just talking about on paper, we had one that was essentially on paper, what, 4 or 5 times. I still think the Tony Ferguson fight at its peak is the one that would have been gone down as the greatest lightweight fight. With no disrespect to Justin Gaethje. And also, again, you guys know me, I'm not ruling out the Tony Ferguson fight happening someday. I'm not 100% sure that Nurmagomedov retires at 30-0. If he does, I'm not certain that 30 isn't Tony Ferguson, right? We don't know if Tony Ferguson gets a win in between. But that to me is still, you know, the one that got away. That's the one I wanted to see. But again, that's something that's out of his control. So yeah, this is about as good as it gets. You know, we've had some good clashes in the past, but I'm thinking the BJ Penn and Frankie Edgar fights never really materialized into anything like truly, truly memorable. The first one was a little controversial. The second one was a lot more convincing for Edgar. And then the third one was just sad. So on paper, those like two of the greatest lightweights that should be up there. Not quite. The Benson Henderson and Frankie Edgar fights were good, but they don't quite feel like they quite live up to the magnitude of this fight. Because again, we are talking about maybe the greatest fighter of all time. Definitely the greatest lightweight. I think, again, as Jose said, almost indisputable. And maybe the most exciting fighter of his generation. I don't know if Justin Gaethje is the most exciting fighter of all time. But if you're talking about his peers, yeah, he's up there. Korean Zombie, of course, be up there. And then you could reach back into prior days and things like that. There's a lot of names you could throw out there. So excitement versus greatness. Undefeated versus a guy who is theoretically his foil. There's just a lot to chew on here. And even the clash of personalities is kind of nice. You know, we like we said, it's kind of refreshing the lack of kind of overt trash talk outside of fight stuff. Like what I'm going to do in the fight. I'm going to knock him out. I'm going to take his soul. It's a little cliche. I'm sure people, you know, will want something more interesting. But at the same time, at least they're just focusing on competition. Nothing personal. And we know we're just going to get the best fight on Saturday. You know, no outside distractions. Nothing, none of that to worry about.
Casey, you have logged a lot of years covering the sport. So, you know, and we've seen a lot of like mystical personalities over the years, like C-level Kane, bald Brian Ortega last weekend, Dad Cerrone, and now we're getting wrestler Gaethje, which we know the pedigree is well established, but we haven't seen very much of it heading into Saturday because he's such a devastating striker. So what have you made of this aspect of the fight? Because Khabib does what he does. No one's been able to stop it. What makes Gaethje so different in your opinion?
Because he's so freaking mentally tough. He hits so dang hard. And why I think, I believe this is the not only the biggest, well, I guess we're talking about money-making. No, it's not the biggest money-making, but I feel this is the greatest light heavyweight title fight in MMA
lightweight,
history.
Lightweight.
What did I say?
Light heavyweight.
Yeah. This fight is so good. It's big. Yeah, that's right. That's that good. It's that good. No, it's the biggest lightweight title fight in MMA history. All promotions, all time from 10,000 years ago till the future. This is the greatest one ever. It's just a perfect fight at a perfect time, and I just can't wait. And you know, we asking about what makes Gaethje hit so special. Is the fact that, you know what, we don't really know. There's mystery going into this. We don't know how Gaethje will react to a fighter that his only game plan will be to take him down. That's at this level. I'm sure maybe in the early in his career he's fought other guys that were trying to take him down, but not at Khabib's level. So like Michael Johnson, all those guys he fought before, James Vig, Barboza, who did he just beat? Cerrone, Ferguson. Their game plans aren't only to take their opponent down. So this is just extremely exciting, and man, I cannot wait for this fight. I am so hyped.
Jose, one thing about Khabib fights is that he's like all the questions like surround the opponent. Like with this fight, like can Justin Gaethje do this? Can he do that? But a big question that is asked, but not as much, as can anybody stop Khabib from doing what he's done to everybody else? And I believe, and Jose, you can correct me if I'm wrong or if you disagree, but to me, Khabib's like the MMA version of Floyd Mayweather, mostly due to the questions that are being asked, like the intangibles of all the fighters he's faced taking the forefront as opposed to the fighter himself. Like even when Floyd fought Conor McGregor, it was, you know, what's Floyd going to do against a power puncher? He struggles with that. He struggles with southpaws. How will he handle that? Conor's not a boxer. He's a fighter. How will Floyd deal with that? When in reality, we know he's handled it all with relative ease with very minimal exceptions. Like, do you agree with that or am I nuts?
The Mayweather one might be a little hard just because Floyd Mayweather was such a defensive mastermind and Khabib is just go, 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 go the whole time. He's not, his grappling is so attack heavy to the fact that if he misses a single leg, he'll just continue to hold on and just drive you into the fence where he's unstoppable. If he gets you against the fence, you cannot stop him. So if Justin Gaethje could keep the fight in the center of the octagon, obviously it would be a different story. But the parallels there in the fact that you know what he's going to do. But like you said, Floyd Mayweather struggles with power punches. Floyd Mayweather struggles with southpaws. Floyd Mayweather this and that and this. Like, yes, he may have struggled in the past, still won. And the tape is out there. So we knew he would do, we've seen him face southpaws before. We've seen him face hard punches before. We've not really seen Khabib fight someone that has a Justin Gaethje's wrestling pedigree or background. It's not on the same level as Khabib, but it's still there. Division I wrestling, American wrestling. It's crazy. Is an absolute lunatic when it comes to striking. To say that he creates a circle of like violence in front of him is just the most compelling way to describe a fighter I've ever seen. Has an unstoppable gas tank. Yes, Dustin Poirier has good gas tank, Edson Barboza, this and that, but they're not like Justin Gaethje where they can take damage and keep coming forward. Not that Khabib's going to do damage like those guys, but Justin Gaethje, you won't mentally break, and then, of course, Conor McGregor doesn't have near the cardio that Justin Gaethje or any of those guys have. So I think Justin Gaethje poses a lot of issues that, for all we know, Khabib won't have a problem with. But we've never seen him face someone like Khabib, and I think that's why this fight is so intriguing, because he brings so many questions to the table. Because for all we know, Khabib wins in like a minute, just taps him out immediately, but we just don't know how Khabib will fight because the blueprints are not. Like Javier Mendez himself said, Khabib's head coach, he thinks Justin Gaethje is the number two biggest test in his career behind Conor McGregor, only because we've seen Khabib face Conor McGregor. Javier Mendez has said, for all we know, Justin Gaethje might be a bigger issue. We just don't know because we've not faced someone like him, and we haven't faced him yet. So come Saturday, we could be talking about a different story, but there's just too many questions surrounding Khabib and Justin Gaethje's style to make any sort of comparison.
All right, we'll get to our picks and then get to the questions in a moment, but I'd be remiss if we didn't at least bring up
Mike, the weigh-in. I agree real quick. Khabib is the Floyd Mayweather of MMA, by the way. He is. You're right.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, obviously, two completely different skill sets, but the questions that are always like brought up heading into these fights, it's very similar in buildup. You know what I mean?
And I also want to add too, you watch Floyd to see if he's going to lose, not if he's going to knock the other guy out. We're not watching Khabib because he's going to get a big knockout. He might get a knockout, whatever. He might finish the guy on the ground, but we're not watching Khabib for that. We're watching to see when will he finally lose. So that's why I really think he is very much Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, that's the kind of direction I'm heading with this. But do we want to address the weigh-in thing, or are we past this? Because like honestly, from a fan's perspective and thinking about it from Justin Gaethje's stance, we've seen the videos, you know, we've seen there's somewhat controversy surrounding Khabib's weigh-in and whether or not he made weight. I don't think he missed by like 3 pounds. Maybe he missed. I don't know. I wasn't there. I have no idea. But regardless, I don't really care. Like, can I just say that? I don't care. Like, I just want to see these guys fight. I'm over it.
I do care.
You callous MMA hipsters, you outsiders. You know what? You're not the one in there who's going to be in the cage. You're not Justin Gaethje having to deal with that extra half pound leaning on you against the fence, smothering you on the ground. And it's like, oh, if only this guy had not weighed over, weighed over a half pound, I'd be getting up right now.
I would say I care because B makes a lot of money. And if Justin Gaethje gets some of that percentage from missing weight, and if he makes weight and he can win the title, you know, if Justin Gaethje can win the title and like Khabib loses, and if Khabib wins, it's just whatever. Like, but if Justin Gaethje gets a percentage of Khabib's fight purse for missing weight, like, yeah, then I would care. But I'm not going to say anything until Justin Gaethje says something. That's just my opinion.
And that's what I mean. Like, because I don't think Justin Gaethje hasn't said anything about it. And it will be addressed. It hasn't been addressed yet. I'm sure after the fight, it'll be addressed by Dana White, Gaethje, Khabib, no matter who wins the fight. But like right now, just the journalism side of me is like, yeah, I care. And for Gaethje's side, like that's a big amount of money that he's missing. But from like a fight fan's perspective, I just want to see them fight at this point. Like, I don't want any drama.
I care about as much as I cared about Daniel Cormier's Towelgate. I remember when that was official. That one we knew right away. We're like, yeah, he definitely did something. But we were just like, but I also really want to see this fight. So I didn't care then. However, I will say, and we should mention, I assume everyone's aware of the controversy, but it just came from the guy handling the weigh-ins very quickly.
You want to watch the video real quick?
Let's throw the clip. You know, we're live. Let's throw it up.
We're live, pal.
I don't know if you can slow it down, Casey, but even if you can't, we'll break it. Because it really is like, if you watch the clip the first couple of times, you really wouldn't notice anything amiss, especially considering how the weigh-ins have been handled, not just for this card, but also some of the other recent cards on Fight Island. They've been very abrupt. Someone will step up. And I don't know if it's the same guy every time, but there's definitely one guy who just he takes like a glance at it, slams the thing over, and says, "Take your pose and get up the scale." So it only with Khabib, it has been very 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 quick weigh-ins for a lot of people on Fight Island. But obviously with Khabib, there's a little extra level of scrutiny, especially with having to make championship weight. So
yeah, we definitely talked about it. As he was weighing in, he looked like supremely relieved. Like he was like, "Oh no!" And then he was like, "Whew." And all right, so here's the video in the pane glass window.
Oh, sorry, guys. Hold on. Here we go.
There he is. Khabib stepping up the scale. So this goes down tomorrow, UFC 250.
Khabib has always looked miserable when he weighs in.
Yes. Has never.
Let's not act surprised, real quick.
This is well shot footage.
Yeah, I don't know who did this, but
this is phenomenal.
Maybe some sort of YouTube Emmy Award for videography here.
This, well done. Cinematography that really gets me.
There's Habib. He's just like, exposed.
I just need the towel. Towel of shame, please.
I need the towel. I'm over this.
That's me. I'm going to need the towel.
He's trying to stay calm. You can tell he's getting a little agitated. Let's just get this over with.
He's ready to shoot a double leg on someone if they don't bring that damn towel over. Okay.
Come on, for the love of God. Let's get this towel here. All right. There he is.
Okay. So for anyone watching, no controversy yet. Pretty normal. There we go. Thank you. Got to move our blocker.
So the controversy is because you can see the scale going up.
Here we go. Oh, here we go. Back and to the left. Back and to the left. Okay.
You can see it. Yep. There it is.
Right there. So you guys can see it tilt upwards, which normally means let me take this frame off.
So we get even more. Is anything being cut off? Hold on.
And I said we were just going to touch upon this.
This has become the preview show.
Now this is a Pruder film.
Here we go.
Oh, he slows it down. Yep.
In that
lining. Yep.
Yeah, there you go, guys. You see right there.
And there's
back to the left.
So yeah, you guys, you can see right at the end of the left end of the scale, you guys can see it tilts upwards, which normally means that the fighter is a little bit heavy, and then that's when they start adjusting the thing. But he kind of just, as soon as Khabib stepped on, said it didn't move for like a half second. He's like, well,
half
that's
second.
It.
Not even.
Quarter of a second. So, but again, he wasn't the only fighter that did that.
That was consistent throughout the whole night.
Point
that out.
If you'll make your own judgments, you've seen the footage. But again, I don't know if it's a big controversy. I'm sure it's, as with anything in MMA, it's something people will talk about forever. I mean, people are still making tiramisu jokes, which is just like the saddest thing I've ever seen. But once people get a hold of something, they just never let it go. So that's that little controversy. Make of it what you will.
Let me just say, everyone's focusing, Justin's not going to care. He weighs 156 pounds, whatever. It is not about the literal weight. That is not the issue right here for Justin Gaethje. Maybe the money is an issue. I'm sure that he wants the extra money. That's fine. The real issue is for Justin Gaethje, and this is why he does care. He may not say that loud, but they do care. That means Khabib did not put the effort into it, and that means that's less effort. That's more preparation he has for the actual fight. That is the key. If Khabib, like, imagine Khabib's half pound over, he's already struggling. Hey, hit that treadmill again. That's another 30 minutes. That's another just like wear and tear on Khabib's body. So when he shows up tomorrow, that's a bigger advantage for Gaethje. And that is what the issue is. It's not the actual a pound of whatever, it's the effort to put the weight in, to make the weight. And that is very important. But I can't figure out why Justin Gaethje's people aren't at the scale, making sure he's making weight properly. I have no clue why.
Maybe they don't care because, like, where it's all it's all speculation right now.
This is across the sport, not even just this fight.
Well, and that's the thing, Casey.
The conversation right now is this is why Justin Gaethje does care. I don't. Yeah. None of us know.
I think this is another example of sort of that warrior mentality in MMA where it's like, I don't need to inspect my opponent's weight. I took care of my business. He should take care of his business. I trust it. If he misses, then obviously I'm just going to take the thing. If they say he made it, he made it. But we see this in a lot of aspects of MMA, not just this. It's the warrior culture. Right.
I've never met a wrestler in the sport say, I don't care if my opponent makes weight. I've never heard of a wrestler say that.
I'm not gonna pretend to know what Justin Gaethje and his team are thinking. He might care, he might not care, but I'm not gonna try and say he absolutely cares until he says it himself.
I am gonna pretend. Head to my Twitter. I'll be starting a tweet thread of me reading Justin Gaethje's mind and projecting his thoughts and telling you exactly what Justin Gaethje is thinking. So subscribe.
If the post fight scrum, Justin Gaethje says this and that, and he missed weight and. I care and like then not, we like, have a story.
He'll say after the fight. There's just no way. It's just we know that's not how it works, man. You know that.
Anthony Johnson did it. Anthony Johnson said he didn't care. And then as soon as the fight was over, he went to the commission and objected to the towel gate.
Yeah, and he's a wrestler.
Gaethje. Nobody's Gaethje. Yeah. He's not Gaethje.
Well, again, this is all speculation. None of us know. Like, I'm not going to pretend to know what Justin Gaethje's
doing. I am. I read his mind.
Exactly. And then that's the thing. When I say, like, I don't care, it's not that, like, there isn't flaws in the sport and things need to be changed. It's that no one said anything. No one has said a word about it. And until they do, it is what it is. Like, we know nothing. So we'll wait and hear from, you know, the important people in this conversation, Khabib, Gaethje, Dana White, whatever. And then we could talk about it there, but they are going to fight tomorrow.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
And of course, we want to get your picks in viewership land. I'm sure there's a plethora of 29-0s and 28-1s in the comments. So if you have some context, you have a reason why, we'd love to hear it. But Jose, we will begin with you. How does this thing play out tomorrow night? Do you see 29-0 or do you see 28-1?
This is a tougher pick than I think. I'm just gonna mess around and pick Justin Gaethje to be weird. That's what I'm gonna do because I decided right now. I think the Khabib is clearly the betting favorite and he will most likely win. But I'm gonna be different and pick the guy from Arizona that I've seen since his first pro fight, pretty much. So Justin Gaethje, I'll say wins, but I say that with zero confidence because my brain is fried after 5 weeks here on Fight Island. I think Khabib is very clearly the greatest fighter on planet Earth right now, but I'm just going to mess around and pick Justin Gaethje because I'm going to see them live. So I'll let you guys break down the actual fight.
All right, AK, what's your pick?
We've been talking about how Khabib Nurmagomedov has never faced a wrestler with Justin Gaethje's credentials, which is true. I was actually surprised when I realized that Gaethje is the first Division I All-American that that Khabib has ever faced. I think the most decorated before that, you would say, Abel Trujillo, who was, I think, four-time NAIA All-American, but there's levels to these things that a lot of these wrestlers will always say, and certainly Division I is considered, you know, a cut above everything else. So he is the most qualified. However, the opposite is also true. I don't think Justin Gaethje, and I think you guys brought this up earlier, Justin Gaethje hasn't faced a wrestler as qualified as Khabib either. Okay, I mean, he's been taken down in fights and not held down. The guys who beat him, Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier, both used takedowns to kind of mix things up, kind of throw off his rhythm. I don't think it was their intention to actually wrestle and beat him, but they used it to break up his rhythm, and it worked, and it was very effective. And both guys ended up knocking him out, so it was perfect. We know Khabib is not going to follow a similar strategy to those guys. He shouldn't. He has a very different skill set, and his wrestling is superior to theirs. So I think as good as Gaethje's takedown defense is, it cannot last for 25 minutes. Now, during that 25 minutes, or I should say maybe the early 10, 12 minutes, when he's sort of at full strength and kind of maybe shrugging off some takedowns, can he land a knockout shot? Of course. He's friggin' Justin Gaethje. He's insanely dangerous. But for me, I think it's just Nurmagomedov maybe, you know, doesn't dominate early on. Maybe has some difficulty holding Gaethje down, but over a period of time breaks him down. You know, he often gets compared to GSP, I think, because of, you know, how GSP was during his championship run, a lot of takedowns, a lot of top control. And I think Nurmagomedov can do the same thing. He really reminds me so much of prime GSP in the way he's able to neutralize his opponent's tools. And I think he'll do the same to Gaethje. So I'm not predicting a finish. I see a lot of people saying that they'd be surprised if this went to a decision. I'm not surprised at all. I'm thinking five round unanimous decision for Khabib. He improves to 29-0 against a very game Justin Gaethje. But I think Khabib's just on another level right now.
I look at this like almost opposite of you, AK, just because, like, I think if this thing gets to the fourth and fifth rounds, that's when I think things get really interesting, because there's weathering a storm. And then there's like weathering a tornado, where you're just like trapped in this rotating column of air and debris that you just cannot escape no matter how hard you try. And that's what Khabib does. But at the same time, when that tornado dies down and the sun comes out, will Justin Gaethje go outside and clean up the mess, or will he just be so overwhelmed by that tornado? I tend to lean towards the latter should it get that far, but will it be too little too late? That's the question. And my other question is, will he even get that far? I say, unfortunately for Gaethje fans, he will not get that far. Will he have success? I think he will, but eventually Khabib is going to get his arms on Gaethje. And when he does, you go for a ride. And I'm leaning towards Khabib to get a finish in this fight in the third round. But I will say this, I will preface this before you go to the betting windows. This is my gut telling me this. I think he gets a submission. Doubtful. There's like a tap out because Gaethje is such a savage. So he'll probably just go to sleep. But listen, for me, it's always to be the man, you have to beat the man. And until somebody actually does it, I just cannot pick against Khabib. Casey, what is your pick before we go to the questions?
I have no clue. I got no freaking clue, man. I love this fight so much. And mostly because we are going to see something tomorrow night, tomorrow morning, whatever, that we've never seen before. For either guy to win, they will have to do something to their opponent that's never been done by any other person. For Gaethje to win, he will have to obviously beat Khabib. He will have to hit him hard enough with his hands and knock him out. For Gaethje to lose, he will have to be held down. Gaethje's got beat up on the feet before and everything. We've seen him get knocked out, but we've never seen him lose the way that Khabib would need to game plan to beat him. So that's why it's just so freaking exciting. Like I was listening to you guys, and sometimes you're like, oh, you know, I think Khabib's finally gonna get his arms around him, clasp his hands, take him down, and get a TKO finish late in the fight or something. But like, I'm like, oh yeah, but like, man, but Gaethje's cardio is so unreal, and like, he's got so much heart, and I just can't see him giving up, and he'll still try to get up, and like, I can't see Khabib just taking a shot and just boom, just being out cold on the ground. I just don't see that either. My mind doesn't work. I can't envision it. So it's just so freaking exciting. And I literally have no prediction for this fight. I just think, I don't even know if it's going to be a good fight. I don't know if it's going to be one way traffic. I'm hoping it's a competitive, awesome fight. But the problem with Khabib, I think I mentioned this on the weigh-ins, like, unless I could be wrong, but like, has Khabib ever been in like an actual back and forth fight, like a fight? In all his fights, he's never had a fight of the night. So he's like, so this is gonna be really interesting. Like, we've never seen Khabib in an actual competitive fight. So even if that happens, that's an amazing accomplishment for Gaethje. But man, I'm just excited. And I think the biggest X factor in the fight that will be the deciding factor that if Gaethje will win, I think it will be leg kicks. I think if Gaethje can land a couple hard leg kicks, you only got to land one, to be honest. But like, especially in those tie ups on the cage that Khabib's going to be on, if he can land a hard leg kick on Khabib, that could change everything.
Yeah, that's why I think like 4 and 5 could be interesting, because Khabib will probably be a little, you know, he's got good cardio, but he's probably going to get a little tired if Gaethje can stay in there.
If those legs are worn out, if those legs are beat up, man, who knows?
Yeah, and then Gaethje can start to open up a little bit. So it's such an interesting fight. I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm just going with my gut. Of course, main card, Robert Whittaker versus Jared Cannonier. That's a pick'em fight at the betting window. Love that matchup. A lot of implications there. We get Volkov versus Walt Harris, heavyweight bout. The debuts of Phil Haas and Jacob Malkoon at 185 pounds. We got Lauren Murphy versus Lilia Shakarova. And then kicking off the main card, Magomed Ankalaev versus Iwan Kutalaba. Keep those fingers crossed. I feel good about it. I feel like it's going to happen. But we talked so much about the main event. Let's just go right to the questions and see what everybody else is thinking and talking about here.
Yeah. Let me head back in time a bit.
Yeah. Really hoping for that Magomed Ankalaev, Iwan Kutalaba fight to go. Otherwise, we could see the UFC debut of Izzy Fatikafu. Some people who didn't watch the weigh-ins have no idea what I'm talking about. who watch the weigh-ins, it's like he wasn't. It's like, honestly, I'm assuming they'll actually give him a fight at some point in the future. But there was an alternate for anyone who didn't watch. There was another alternate. There was Michael Chandler, of course, win as an alternate. Sergey Morozov, who was supposed to fight in the card, but he lost opponent, and then this guy wanders in out of nowhere. This light heavyweight who is Izzy Fatikafu is apparently going to be an alternate for this 205-pound bout. But it was quite a moment. It was quite a moment this morning.
I've never been more confused during a weigh-in in my entire life.
I was panicking.
I was like, what is happening right now?
people don't understand how much research we do for these things. And when something just truly comes out of left field, it is just disturbing.
All right. Naeem Anthony asks, can Khabib knock Gaethje out?
On the feet?
I mean,
if we're asking, can he win by knockout? I think we've all envisioned a scenario where maybe he gets Gaethje down, maybe gets back control, and then flattens him, like ground and pound TKO, like a one shot knockout. No,
that would be ridiculous.
Here's my answer. No,
no. I mean, it's a fight. Anything can happen, but I would say that's doubtful.
Can we just put out there, what's our most unlikely possible finish to this fight?
Draw. Wow. No contest.
That's almost undesirable, maybe.
Would a Khabib knockout standing be even crazier than Gaethje arm barring?
I think Gaethje's get a submission is the most illogical.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Gaethje winning a 5-round decision using wrestling and ground control is the most unlikely.
Fair.
I remember Mighty Mouse Benavidez 2. Obviously the common logic was Benavidez the one with the punching power. Demetrius Johnson's the more skilled fighter. Maybe, he'll win a decision. And then Mighty Mouse clocked him first round KO and like a legitimate like one punch knockout. That's probably the most shot. That is what it would look like to me if Nurmagomedov caught Gaethje with like a flying knee.
He has a very good jab. Javier Mendez taught him a pretty great jab.
He's a good striker, but we're talking about a guy who's not shown.
Gaethje is obviously the better striker, but I just think Khabib is so unorthodox, and his jab is very high level.
Plus the chin.
He uses his jab to set up his takedowns. Like he snaps your neck back, and then all of a sudden you're on your. Mm-hmm. He snaps your head back, and all of a sudden you're getting dumped on your head. So I don't know if Justin Gaethje's head will snap back because he's a psychopath and just walks through pain. But yeah, who knows?
Real quick, we have a prediction right here.
Gaethje by submission. Keep those crystals close.
Which crystal does he need, Jessica?
Answering our question, not a prediction.
Submission?
Jessica, outside of her love of crystals, she is a fairly rational human being as far as I know. So I do not think that's her prediction. But.
All right, we got Bam Chronicles says, the more exciting fight is Cannonier versus Whitaker. Leading up to the fight, what are the tendencies you've seen from Whitaker in his preparation and mentality for the fight? So this is obviously, and I agree, I think like looking at it from a betting perspective, looking at it from kind of an ins and outs perspective, this probably is the more competitive fight, but who knows? We still have to see them go after it tomorrow. But I'm curious because on Between the Links, we talked about this fight like ad nauseum. This became like a big shouting match between Jed Meshew and Aaron Bronsetter. They had a heated debate for a couple of reasons. Like, for example, like Jed believed the big storyline is Robert Whittaker, and has he completely shaken off and bounced back from the loss to Israel Adesanya? Will a win get him a title shot? And Aaron Bronsetter believed that the emphasis is on Jared Cannonier. Is he the dark horse of this division like Adesanya says he is? So let me ask you, AK, who is right in your opinion? Do you think this is more about Whitaker's story? Has he bounced back from that Adesanya loss? Or is this about Cannonier being the next challenger?
Which take was Jed's again?
Jed's was this is a Whitaker tale.
Ah, damn it. I hate to agree with Jed, but I do think a lot of it is I shouldn't say that because I think Whittaker answered a lot of questions already. I don't know if people are forgetting, he beat Darren Till. It's a really, really solid technical fight. So we've shown that there's some evidence of what he's been saying, that he really was just like very, very badly burnt out during his title run. Even after the Adesanya fight, he was talking about how, ahead of the first time the Cannonier fight was booked, just the mental strain that competing at the highest level was putting on him. So he says he did a lot of work to change that side of things for himself. And he did look really, I think, a lot like, just kind of an overused term, but like kind of sort of a vintage Whitaker when he fought Till, because when he fought Izzy, I think a lot of people said, man, that was very uncharacteristic of him, the way he fought. He was so aggressive. Why is he being so aggressive, overly aggressive? And I think it went beyond a strategic choice. I think there was that mental aspect of his game that was just missing. And not to make excuses, because I think Izzy's a champ and maybe would have beaten him anyway, but there's reason to believe that he didn't fight his best on that day. He looked great against Till. I do think we need to continue the story of Whitaker. I do think people aren't talking about it enough because even Izzy, you know, in his last press conference was, yeah, I think Cannoneers could be the next challenger. And that's reasonable given that he already beat Whitaker. But it also felt like people, it kind of led to people to overlook him a little bit. I still think Whitaker is the best middleweight not named Israel Adesanya. So I hope people are not not forgetting this coming event and what this means, what this can mean for Whitaker's career if he picks up another win.
Yeah, it's a huge fight, very competitive. And Whitaker's just the way he's been approaching these last two fights just seems like a very free individual. It just seems free of stress. I mean, obviously there's stress heading into a fight, but he seems just in a much better place. Jose, you know, what if you were in the room, you were there during the media day with Whitaker, what did you see from him that stuck out to you?
Yeah, he just doesn't care about anything except for himself, which is not a bad thing. Like, he's solely focused on what he can control. Like, we asked him about what Cannoneer can do, Israel Adesanya, possibly rematching Israel Adesanya, like fighting December, fighting for an interim title. And his answer is always like, I don't care. I'm just focusing on myself. I don't care. I'll do whatever. I don't care. The only thing I care about is my family and not fighting until after Christmas. That's literally all he cares about right now. Like, Casey's interviewed him enough times, and I've interviewed enough times in person where, like, Casey described it best on the A side. He described Robert Whitaker. He used to be the middleweight Robbie Lawler, where he just didn't want to talk to anyone. He just wanted to show up, fight, and go, which is very accurate from my experience with him. And so very recently, I think he's just more mentally free. Fallen back in love with fighting and training and all that stuff. But to say that that's the big narrative coming into this is, I disagree with it. That's what Jed said, right? He said, this story is all about Robert Whitaker. I disagree completely, considering the fact that the champion of the division is already talking about Jared Cannoneer. Like, yes, Robert Whitaker coming back after his loss to Israel Adesanya is great, but we saw it. He's already 1-0 after that fight. Jared Cannoneer hasn't fought in more than a year, and Israel Adesanya has been saying Jared Cannoneer's name as the dark horse for that entire time. So to say that the big narrative is, can Robert Whitaker bounce back after his TKO or knockout loss to Israel Adesanya? Already bounced back. He's 1-0. Very great performance. Very technical performance against Darren Till in a 5-round main event, no less. Now he has 3 rounds against Jared Cannoneer, someone who has put who many consider to be the greatest middleweight away, and then just tore through Jack Hermanson and David Branch, and is already being considered the dark horse. And Israel Adesanya is already talking about him, making Naruto memes and all that. So the big storyline is, can Jared Cannoneer deliver of what Israel Adesanya has already predicted?
All right. And let me bounce this one back to you, Jose, because the other question they debated was, what is the better case scenario for everybody involved? A Whitaker win, which Aaron thought was better for business, since the rematch with Izzy, in his opinion, is bigger. Maybe a stadium show in their neck of the woods when fans can return. Maybe it forces Adesanya's hand to move up to 205 to maybe set up a future fight with John Jones or Jan Błachowicz. Or Jed thinks the best case scenario is that Cannoneer goes in there and, I believe this is his exact words, beats the brakes off of Robert Whitaker to set up a compelling yet fresh title fight at 185 pounds. So what do you think is like the best case result tomorrow?
I think it depends on how you look at it. And I think Daniel Cormier said it best. Jared, when we interviewed him like weeks ago, Jared Cannoneer winning is best for the division. Because at the end of the day, a champion that wants to stay in his division and just knock off contender after contender is great. I don't think Israel Adesanya is at that point where he's cleaned out the division yet, and now he's rematching everyone. If he rematches Robert Whitaker, cool. I mean, I like that fight in general. But if Robert Whitaker wins and Darren Till wins, I would imagine I wouldn't be surprised if Darren Till just jumps the queue and fights Israel Adesanya, which is the bigger fight of the three. I think Darren Till versus Israel Adesanya is just the bigger selling fight in general, considering their personalities and how they portray themselves. And we've seen how Robert Whitaker wins. So best for business, I would say Robert Whitaker wins, not because of Whitaker getting the rematch, but because I think they would try and sneak Darren Till in there. But best for the division, Jared Cannoneer, because that would cement a guaranteed number one contender in an opponent that Israel Adesanya has already earmarked as the dark horse. So anytime we've talked about this before, like Max Holloway was refreshing in the fact that he would just keep fighting contender after contender after contender. And it just didn't feel like years ago, that was the norm. Like, you see Anderson Silva fighting just whoever's next, I'll fight. GSP, same thing. And now you see a lot of champions want these super fights, bouncing around, talking trash, this and that. Izzy's like, I'll fight Jared because he's the man, and I think he needs one win, and I'll fight him. So, like, that is refreshing. So best for the division, Jared Cannoneer. Best for business, probably Robert Whittaker, but not in the sense that most people are talking about the rematch, but because they could probably A, Darren Till gets the title shot, or B, it makes John Izzy move up to light heavyweight for a big super fight, champ versus champ, or the John Jones fight.
What do you think, AK? You have a look. I can't tell whether you're in agreement or you're ready to fire off a hot take that we've never quite heard before.
No. The last point I think that Jose made was the most important one, because I do think Whittaker win is best for business, because I think that it'll have the UFC taking a serious look at options outside the middleweight division. Darren Till for sure could jump the queue. Darren Till is fighting. Who's Darren Till fighting next?
Help Jack Hermanson.
Jack Hermanson.
Shoot. But that's not a guaranteed win either.
Main event,
and,
baby.
And here's the thing. That's not a guaranteed win either. But
small,
you're right.
Tiny cage.
Yeah, an impressive performance against a Hermanson. Obviously, yes, he could jump the line. But I do think more so it would push the turn the wheels a little bit more in the direction of the John Jones super fight. It's a fight that I've said I don't expect to happen anytime soon. But again, I've been very wrong about these things before. And again, we've seen how quickly these things can shake up. We were talking on the weigh-in show today about how the flyweight, women's flyweight contender picture just completely turned upside down in the last 2 weeks with Jessica Andrade, now the number one contender on UFC.com's official rankings. Shakarova tomorrow could be Lauren Murphy and jump that. She can become the number two or top five contender. So these things can change so quickly. So while I don't think that the John Jones Adesanya fight happens within the next like 6 months, I honestly don't know. Like we said, that Whittaker, I don't think they're eager to book that rematch. So if he has a convincing win over Cannoneer, that's really going to make things a little bit more complicated for the matchmakers. But at the same time, for the fans, I think create a lot more intrigue than a Cannoneer win would, because that's going to give us a great matchup. Don't get me wrong, Cannoneer Adesanya. But for anyone kind of holding out hopes that Jones fight, could happen soon, you want to see Whittaker win and make the matchmakers think a little bit.
It's a good fight. Really good fight. Really good co-main event. First three-round fight for Robert Whittaker since UFC 197. That was a long time ago.
Jesus.
Well over 4 years. So thank you for the question, Bam Chronicles. What else we got?
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andre Koreshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
Sorry, UFC 254.
Truck,
which is
truck.
Right now.
Yeah. You lost the truck?
Okay. I'm here.
Truck is back.
Quick one-word answer from this question.
Well, I'll be the judge of that.
Who does KG fight next once he wins?
Wow. Noel Habib. Bishop, so confident.
Habib. If he wins, that's a rematch.
All
right. Yeah. It's hard to argue that. I mean,
the winner of Poirier McGregor
at 170?
Yes.
And
no.
Again, this is all speculative.
Yeah. No, Poirier and McGregor will fight at 170, and then
guesses.
We'll treat that as a lightweight eliminator, lightweight contender eliminator.
I think he'll probably rematch. Habib's the biggest star in the lightweight division, non-inch Conor McGregor.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do think that's the best option. I'll throw out the McGregor Poirier thing as another option, but I think if Khabib asks for a rematch, he gets his rematch.
Yeah. If it's Casey shaking his head, you're going, what are you thinking?
You guys act like, remember, why did Conor fight Donald Cerrone? What did Dana White say?
To book the rematch with Khabib.
For
to set that up.
He'll get a title shot. If Gaethje wins, that Conor Poirier 2 contract, rip it up. Never happened.
Damn.
Gaethje Conor.
It's just so real. Hard to
because
give Habib
it's a about rematch. Making money. It's about making money. Oh. And then
they can make enough. They're going to make money.
And if Gaethje wins, then Habib faces the next. Well, he'll probably face either Conor as champ or Gaethje as champ.
Wow.
I mean, both are viable options. I tend to lean more unless Gaethje just absolutely annihilates Habib, like just massacres him,
which is how he wins.
Don't see a world where he doesn't get the rematch.
How else does he win?
I think Habib is, without a doubt, the biggest star on this part of the world. And if he gets, and if Justin Gaethje beats him, he is probably the third biggest star in the lightweight division after Habib and Conor. So you're basically talking about, does the one fight the three, or does three fight the two? Does the two fight the one? I think if Justin Gaethje wins, I will bet an entire paycheck that is the it is the rematch. And none of this tear the contract. I don't care if there's a contract or not. If there's no contract to tear up, I don't care. The rematch is going to happen if Justin Gaethje wins. That is the fight. You shake your head all you want, because if Justin Gaethje wins, he is a rock star. If Justin Gaethje wins, he is a rock star. That is a Masvidal Askren performance that catapults him into the stratosphere. And now all of a sudden, he's a money fight. So talk about making money. Justin Gaethje becomes a money-making fighter. He's a guy you can slot in against anyone and make money. Conor can go fight the Southpaw and Dustin Poirier and prepare for the Manny Pacquiao fight like he's claiming. If Justin Gaethje wins, I will bet an entire paycheck they rematch.
All right. Well, let's flip it over.
If Justin Gaethje wins and they don't book the rematch, I will drink an entire package of Soylent just for Casey.
No, I like the paycheck thing. Please like and subscribe and follow MMA Fighting on Twitter. We will pick one lucky winner to get Jose's paycheck. And if
they book anything else, if they book anything else, I don't know what Casey's going to have to do, because he's going to be wrong anyway. So I'll let him pick, because it's going to be bad.
I guess the UFC doesn't like making money all of a sudden. Yeah.
They don't, dude. They don't. Not anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, so Casey, if Habib wins, are we doing the Conor rematch? Are we still ripping up the contract? Because
if Habib wins, they will try to make the GSP fight, obviously, at whatever way.
Yeah. 100%.
That's the fight. I mean, I think we know what, if Habib wins, there's only one fight they truly want. If the GSP fight can't be made, the weight can't be agreed upon, the money's not right, then probably somehow they'll get Ferguson in there somehow. Maybe off a loss, who knows? You know
what about?
Maybe, I can see Ferguson fighting Habib next too, even off the Gaethje loss, claiming, you know,
I agree,
he had the fight already. You know, there's the storyline's there still. He fought Justin on short notice. It was a pandemic fight. You know, things were crazy. So I think the fans would accept it. So yeah.
Any chance, because I know we talked about this on Between the Links, it was like the final question about what this surprise could be for Habib if he wins this fight, because they promised him something big. GSP obviously is up there. Conor rematch is up there. But a lot of people were like, what about Usman? What about him going up to 170 and fighting for the 170 pound title? Is that even an option or no?
I think it's an option.
No.
I think it's a third option. If Habib really wants to leave the sport with two belts, that's an option. It's an awesome option too.
The look on Jose's face.
Good. The surprise is going to be a surprise to even Habib. It's going to be, they're going to break out Gleison Tibau for the rematch. the man who in the minds of many has already defeated Habib Nurmagomedov. That fight. Oh my gosh, people still bring it up.
What's that Dennis Seaver doing these days? Because I'd rather see that fight.
Supposedly the closest call that Habib has ever had in the octagon. It actually was a very competitive fight, but I don't know.
Michael Johnson, he hurt Habib.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. He had him on skates. He hurt him. So the surprise will be Gleison Tibau getting re-signed. I think he's not with the UFC anymore. Am I correct?
Probably.
There's a 0% chance Habib moves up.
This is the, I don't know about that. I think
zero.
I don't think it's their number one option.
Zero.
But if there's no GSP thing?
0% chance. Habib is very adamant.
Will you bet another paycheck?
Two paychecks?
Well, you see, you should probably watch the post of the pre-fight press conference on MMAfighting.com's YouTube channel, shot by yours truly. He only cares about one thing, and that's retiring lightweight champion. Doesn't want to talk about welterweight.
That's what he says now.
Sure. When is Habib going back on his word?
People change their minds, my friend.
I think Habib's the one fighter that money's not going to mean anything.
Yeah.
I think the challenge, I think he'd be talked into it. I think the challenge of fighting Usman would be.
I disagree. I think they're just they're also very good friends. So does Gaethje. So that, I don't think the management thing is. Usman's not helping Gaethje with Whitman. Like, because Usman hopped over to Trevor Whitman's team to prepare for Burns, and Gaethje helped him. I do not believe, from what I've heard, Usman has had taken any part in Justin Gaethje's camp solely because of his respect for Habib.
All right, fair enough. I mean, maybe there's that honor in martial arts where he'd be like, you know what, let's just do it one last time. But who knows? We'll see what happens.
Lace in T-Bow.
Yeah, we all have one word answer that went 5 minutes. So we got anything else?
Move on.
Yeah, hold on one moment. Man, I need a separate chat just for questions.
I wish there was a way. I'm seeing the chat as well.
Hold on, you know what? Let's just answer. Actually, this is actually a good question. It's simple to answer, but it's a good question.
Ah. It's a great question. Yeah. What time will the fight begin? All right.
What time will it be local time, Jose?
Normal, right?
The entire fight card in general?
Early prelims. Just break it down. Card. Early prelims, prelims. And
Saturday, early prelims, 6:30 p.m. Abu Dhabi. 6:30 p.m. early prelims live, UFC Arabia. 8 p.m. UFC 254 prelims live on UFC Arabia. 10 p.m. local time, UFC 254 card live on UFC Arabia. 2 a.m. local time, because let's not forget, I believe this is a six fight card, main card, concludes 254 local time, 2 a.m. And then 2:30, 254 post fight press availability. But let's not forget, we could just get a ton of knockouts, and all of a sudden we're on the main card at like 9 o'clock, which I would love.
Those of us on the East Coast,
they won't move up. They won't move up the main card. It starts at the same time.
East Coast, we are getting some sweet, sweet early Saturday MMA. 10 a.m. 11 a.m. start time, early prelims. And then 12 p.m. Saturday, the next set of four preliminary fights. And then, six fight main card at four?
Two.
I shouldn't have answered this question.
Good job, Alex.
I nailed it.
Good job, Candy. Good job, Candy.
11, 12, 2 p.m.
Alex is such a jabroni.
And they're all good. Who's the next lightweight contender? Charles Oliveira?
Oh, wait. West Coast, Casey?
Oh,
start time?
No, wait, dude. West Coast, named Michael Chandler.
First fight, I think 7:30 or 8 a.m. Is it seven? Is it?
Yeah, because there's only two fights in the first wave. So I think we're at the top. So it'll be 8 a.m. West Coast time.
Yeah, 8 a.m. And I think the main card starts at 11 a.m. Is that correct?
Yep.
All right.
I love it. I'm so.
Oh, this is exciting. I'm gonna have dinner on a Saturday night.
The next lightweight contender.
Must be nice.
I hope Charles Oliveira gets a shot someday. Guy has done everything he has to get one, but he's certainly not next in line, unfortunately. That's not how the UFC works. It'll be Tony Ferguson after he beats Michael Chandler before the end of this year, and then finally we finally get Habib.
After they coach the Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, God, no. Oh, I love the Ultimate Fighter, but please do not waste these guys' time with the Ultimate Fighter.
Don't waste my time.
I want to see Michael Chandler talk for hours about nothing, and I want to see Tony Ferguson do crazy workouts.
Abu Dhabi, Jose is salty.
Yeah.
Only slightly saltier than usual,
hey,
Jose.
Hey, I think maybe a little low in sugar. Why don't you have a bite of your chocolate fist?
Oh, yeah. Take a gander at this, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Chocolate fist, courtesy of the Crown Plaza Hotel.
Even the plate Oscar has done.
Oscar has dubbed Exhausted Jose as Jose Noir, and I approve this message.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've been a proponent of that. Ferguson and Habib has to happen someday, will still happen, and I think it's with Ferguson and Chandler fighting, and one of those guys. I would guess Ferguson, but obviously possibly Chandler, but I would say Ferguson, Habib for 30-0 and UFC undisputed lightweight championship.
I have to see that for five rounds, though. I have to. We won't, but I would love to because they're probably through.
Oh, Ferguson and Chandler?
Because that's a pay-per-view fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go.
Let's just make it five rounds. We can UFC, you can have five rounds non-title, non-main events. You can do it. You can do whatever you want.
Just pay them that money.
Just pay them.
Pay them.
Straight cash, homie.
Compensate.
So do we answer this? Or is it just not Charles Oliveira?
It will be Tony Ferguson at some point.
So you think Tony coming off the loss will get the...
No, I think he fights Michael Chandler and beats Michael Chandler, and then we get Habib Ferguson, finally.
Man, you're a Michael Chandler hater.
I think he's great. I just think
I love Michael Chandler.
Losing to Tony Ferguson, there is no shame in that. Many have. Let me hear something. Many have, and there's no shame in it at all.
AK, what's your under the radar fight on this card?
Obviously, Phil Haas and Jacob. No, I say that only because it's. I was very surprised to see that on the main card. It's two guys making their UFC debut, and both guys have talent. It's just a little bit of an odd choice for the main card. I don't mean to steal your thunder here, Mike, but I think we'll be in agreement. It's got to be the Nathaniel Wood, Casey Kenny, 140-pound catchweight bout, right? I mean, this
Arizona's own.
Kenny was so dominant in his last performance. Wood is such a talented guy. We haven't got to see him fight in a while. And the stars just aligned, right, with Kenny wanting to fight again really soon after his last win because he really didn't take much damage. It was a very lopsided decision win. And Wood, being on the opposite side of it, hadn't fought in so long. He's just kind of itching to get in there with anyone. So calls were made, contracts were sent out. They worked it out, and we're getting a nice – again, 140-pound catchweight bout, so both guys not having to drain themselves down to 135, especially Kenny on short notice. And both guys, again, look, someone's going to take a loss here, but both guys, regardless of what happens, I think it's going to be a really competitive fight, and we will still be talking about these guys as potential top 10 contenders this time next year, no matter who comes out with the victory.
Jose, I know you're not a fight selector for this particular question, but you're a fighter guy, so you know what fighter sticks out to you that's flying under the radar here?
Lilia Shakarova, 100%, only because I left media day and I thought she was by far the most interesting fighter on a low key level. Cause she no one knew anything about her to the point where some media member held the door open and didn't, I don't know this media person's name, and was like, "Oh, who's next?" And she's like, "Me, I'm next." Like, they didn't even know she was the fighter. She speaks Russian, she's Uzbek, she's from Uzbekistan. She's the first female fighter from Uzbekistan.
Is absolutely
excited that Khabib Nurmagomedov is on the top of the card she's fighting on, because apparently Khabib and his team are major players in pushing the growth of MMA in Uzbekistan. So she was very excited for that. But she was telling these crazy stories of like how she got into some combat sports, where she was a wrestler in Uzbekistan and she went to a wrestling meet, I think maybe trials for the Olympics or World Championships or something, I'm not quite sure. And she was so good that the other team was like just trying to pick at her and like just trying to poke her buttons to try and get a rise out of her. And they did such a good job that she tried to fight the entire team. And it was like 100-1 or something crazy like that. And she's like, and we were like, "How did you do?" She's like, "I held my own." And I was like, damn. Like, so I left more intrigued by her than any other fighter on the card. So not to say that she will win against Lauren Murphy, who I think is obviously one of the best female fighters in the world. Not to say that Lilia isn't, because we just don't know. Because she's so new to the game. Also, a little bit of a tense stare down. If you guys remember, Lauren Murphy gave her the finger. Lilia kind of tried to psych her out with her flag, and it didn't work out. But so I'm very excited to watch Lilia fight, just because she has such an interesting backstory that I think she could be one of these fighters that kind of grows a cult following moving forward. But I will say I'm absolutely excited for Casey Kenny and Nathaniel Wood. Casey Kenny, kind of for a long time in Arizona, Justin Gaethje was the man in the local MMA scene. Cause like coming from Safford, Arizona, fighting World Series of Fighting, all these local shows. Henry Cejudo, I don't think fought enough in the local scene. Plus he was already a big name to begin with. But when Justin Gaethje made like the jump in World Series of Fighting and then the UFC, Casey Kenny kind of took the mantle from him as like the Arizona guy, like the next big guy from Arizona. And it was only a matter of time before he signed to Bellator or the UFC. So I think those two names definitely, I'm super excited to watch fight.
Yeah, I actually, like, if it's not Kenny Wood, like super under the radar is the Murphy Shakarova fight, because 100%. Between Shakarova and her story, the media day, go back and watch it because it's just so interesting. But Lauren Murphy, just the fact that she took this fight against a newcomer on like a week's notice, flying across the world when she could have just said, "No, I'm going to wait and fight Cynthia Calvillo for a shot at the title." Like, that is gutsy. That is risky. She said,
apparently she said yes to three different opponents too. So she's just wanted to fight. She's down to clown.
So I think that's an interesting fight. And now with Jessica Andrade getting the win over Caitlin Chookagian, that makes things even more interesting at 125. So Lauren Murphy's, I think right now, outside of Shevchenko, has the longest winning streak in the division right now. So she's right there knocking on the door. So there you go. I mean, that's a good fight. And then if we're looking for just like weird and wild, there's no way Stefan Struve versus Tai Tuivasa isn't like just all sorts of wacky.
Hopefully. We're hoping
number
for weirdness.
Number one corned beef fan in the land tied to his Oscar.
Corned beef.
We're definitely hoping for the good kind of weirdness. I think for several of these matchups, I would say Stefan Struve, Tai Tuivasa. I think Dalton Jung and Sam Alvey, hopefully the potential for weirdness there and not kind of a dull fight. And then, of course, Magomed Ankalaev, Yuan Kutalaba. One, we hope these two just get in the cage, and first of all, that this fight stays together. And two, that they get a finish, because let's not forget, this all started 8 months ago with a bizarre fight where I think Kutalaba got hit and was I do think he was faking. He was kind of faking
being rocked. It was rope-a-dope sans rope.
Sure.
But he almost like was stoppage. Such a bad stoppage.
It was an atrocious stoppage. The referee,
one of the worst.
Seeing how dazed Kutalaba was, jumped in like, whoa, no way. There's no way this guy can continue. And then Kutalaba, of course, was immediately like, no, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm fine. I'm rope. Like, I'm just kind of exaggerating. So
Kutalaba, actually had like little prop birdies and put him around his head just to fool everyone. And the ref was like, whoa.
Just let everyone know how cartoonish it was.
Yeah.
And then the ref was like, I don't like the looks of those birds. Those birds
those
are flying
those birds are
around his head. One of the strangest stoppages, and now one of the strangest rematches, because again, it's been booked three times and three times postponed for COVID-19 related reasons. So, and now we hear reportedly that one of Kutalaba's corner men tested positive for COVID-19. Yep. So we're hoping the fighter we're hoping the fighter himself hasn't been infected. So that fight, once it gets in there, could be the weirdest fight of the night. And we love weird fights around here.
And shout out to all of our friends watching from Uzbekistan right now, because I know we had somebody who chimed in.
Hey,
so there you go.
And also, Uzbekistan. I'm very excited for the UFC debut of top prospect Miranda Maverick.
That's a great fight.
I think
that's a really
super
good fight.
Good. I think she's super good. I think she's 23. I've seen her fight a couple of times in person for Invicta, and I was like, "Ooh, this woman's gonna be a beast." She's awesome.
On Monday, when everyone goes, because all the fighters they get out of quarantine go to the beach, and I think all the journos too. We saw like Walt Harris, Jared Cannonier, like Eric Anders, Benson Henderson, Casey Kenney, a lot of the fighters hanging out. Random out, which is off doing her own thing, like just kind of hanging out with her husband, boyfriend. I'm not quite sure, but a very nice woman, and I cannot wait to see her throw down.
Very intelligent,
and she's getting her PhD in kicking ass.
Gosh,
there you go.
Only 23 years old. She already has wins over Deanna Bennett, really good veteran. Pearl Gonzalez, of course, we all know her from her UFC run. She won. I don't know. Did she win the? She did. She won the Phoenix Series tournament. I think that was the win over Bennett. Did that. So she's got a lot under her belt. 23 years old, and like you said, going for PhD, very accomplished, and it's just making me really feel sad about my own life right now. But
she's a college teacher's assistant too. Goodness. So she's like doing Zoom. She's preparing for fights and teaching Zoom classes for college students.
That's. Casey, when you were queuing up the debut thing, I thought you were going to mention Phil Haas. I actually do want to say I am a little bit. I didn't see that comment before you took it down, but I am a little bit. I think people, if the name sounds familiar, if you're like, have I heard of Phil Haas before? It's like you probably have heard of Phil Haas before, because he has been billed as a. He trained with John Jones. I don't remember if people were saying he was a John Jones level prospect, but he did have that. He did.
He was in his camp for a couple of fights.
He didn't make it into the tough 23 house. He lost to Andrew Sanchez, who's now in the UFC. He didn't make it in his first contender series appearance. He lost to Julian Marquez, who is now in the UFC. He also has a loss to Luis Taylor, who's a PFL champion. And he fought for Bellator. He fought for World Series of Fighting. He's fought for Brave Combat Federation. So this guy has been around. He's had experience. And it just, for me, I've joked around with these guys all the time. I was at a point where I was like, I wish they would stop trying to make Phil Haas happen. But sure enough, he had a great performance, first round knockout on Contender Series earlier, just a few months ago, and got himself a contract. So he's only 31 years old and does not have a lot of fight mileage on him. This will just be his 11th pro fight. He is a very legitimate prospect still. So it's very cool, actually, for anyone who's kind of tracked this guy's career to finally see him actually get an official UFC fight.
Indeed. I think, listen, we could talk about UFC 254 for another 5 hours. There's so many storylines. But listen, do we have one more question? We'll do one more question, because Jose's got to go to sleep.
Yes.
I saw this question. I was just confused because I'm just trying to figure out who's the cool guy.
No.
What?
It's obvious.
Jose's a cool guy?
Sorry, bro.
low key. All
right.
Comes with a nose ring.
Must have been the rocket power talk yesterday on the.
We can't go out of this show. We can't go out of this talk. There has to be a better.
All right, one last question.
The Le Barbier.
Oh, I like this question. It's a simple question. Yes or no?
That's usually not a good sign.
Will Habib bleed? Flubber from another mother.
Will he bleed his own blood?
Yes, 100%.
I'll say yes.
I don't think it'll be like devastating, but it's hard to like, you know how we always say like it's hard to imagine Habib like not getting at least one takedown. I think it's very hard to believe Justin Gaethje doesn't cause some sort of physical damage to his opponent. Even if it's a nick or a cut, I don't see Habib leaving this without some sort of blood on him.
Yeah, he'll bleed.
The Russian is cut. The Russian is cut. You will hear that call.
Habib will hear that without a doubt.
He is a man. He's not a machine.
Yeah, he's not exactly.
I think
it might even be a leg kick. Who knows? Maybe get a little leg blood. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Better question. If Habib wins, will he make the post presser, or is it straight to the hospital if he wins?
Oh, yeah.
He'll be there.
Yeah. No matter what, he'll be there.
I don't say no matter what.
I'd say very, very likely.
Everyone that's beaten
freaking
the people
better,
that
man.
The people that have beaten Gaethje have taken a beating to beat Gaethje. So
yeah, it's like a car crash.
That's
so you got to hope that airbag.
Okay. Otherwise, I will give you Tony Ferguson didn't do the post fight and all that stuff, but because he got beat up bad in this title fight. But outside of that, this is the first pay per view Justin Gaethje's headlined in. He's headlined a lot of fight nights. In case you and I have been to enough fight nights to know that usually the main event winner doesn't normally speak to the media, especially after a knockout.
Main event loser.
Loser. The loser doesn't normally speak to the media after suffering a knockout loss. So maybe that has something to do with it. I don't remember if Michael Chandler.
Chandler?
Once came to the presser or. Justin Gaethje went to the presser after losing to Poirier. We were both there.
We were surprised. I was like, whoa, he said. So. And I think Dustin looked more beat up than Gaethje did, honestly.
Dustin sat down. Dustin sat in a chair. And Poirier and Gaethje was walking around.
So, and I don't think we've seen a lot of the main event losers doing post-fight scrums after these, you know, COVID-19 cards anyway. So.
Yeah. So I'm just but
well, will Khabib bleed? Yes. Very likely. Yeah. Yes.
I just want to remind everyone that we still have how many hours now until this card actually will it is okay. So we have 10, 11 hours. My math is so bad. Your 10 hours.
Very bad. Yeah. Very bad. Way
more. 9 hours. 16 hours? We have some time still.
Hours in Canada?
We actually call them TikToks, which is confusing.
We have 18 hours.
It's unfortunate.
Thank you, Waximus. Appreciate it. The cool one's gonna go pick his kid up at school in a few minutes. Awesome. High life.
But keep in mind, there's a lot of time still. So hopefully we get this up fast while all of our predictions and everything we said is still relevant. Because like we said, three people weighed in as replacements, including Michael Chandler. I'm a very optimistic person. I think everything's gonna go fine. I think everything's gonna go off without a hitch. But a lot, as our own Jose Youngs always says, until people step into the cage, the fight is not official. And again, that stands for Keith Lava Ankalaev. Possibly Casey Kane and Nathaniel Wood. We don't know. Like I said, they had a replacement for that fight, but who knows? Maybe you'll catch us in a couple hours as we do an emergency show if Michael Chandler has to step in.
No.
I'm just saying, I don't think it will happen. Everything's going to go fine. Everyone's going to step into the cage that weighed in this morning.
All right. And last question. One word answer, because we didn't actually answer this.
Kane and Air.
Whitaker.
Ooh. Whitaker, unanimous decision.
Crystals suck.
I said,
whoa, wait, hey, one word answer, TKO. Candy.
Oh, sorry. I saw Whitaker.
You know me by now. I weigh experience in these types of fights. That's when true. It's a pick'em, I always weigh in. The biggest factor to me is big fight experience. Candy could absolutely beat Mark Whitaker, though. Casey, but that's
it. Don't mute my microphone. Don't mute my microphone, Casey.
Oh.
Topical.
Are we signing off?
We are signing off. Jose, go to sleep. You deserve it, my man. I appreciate you doing this.
Enjoy your fist cake.
Enjoy Borat.
Shout out. Hold on. On a serious note, much love to Ken Hathaway of MMA Junkie. We didn't talk about him on the A-side or any of the other streams. He just lost his girlfriend. There's a GoFundMe out there. He is without a doubt, one of the best people in mixed martial arts media. Like, we all, like, he, I, if anyone has anything bad to say about Kenny, they're wrong. Kenny is the man, and he's going through probably the worst thing anyone could go through right now, especially in the middle of a pandemic. So if you know Kenny or have experience with him, send him positive vibes. He just lost his girlfriend. Go find the GoFundMe. I know he's technically on the other side with MMA Junkie, but we're all here. We're all friends, especially everyone is friends with Kenny. Casey knows him probably better than anyone. So shout out to Kenny. We love you, man.
Yeah, well, if you just Google Ken Hathaway GoFundMe, it's the first thing that pops up. So you can't miss it. It's right there. And pitch in.
We love you, Kenny. You're the man. And obviously our condolences go out to you, and just a rough story. But Kenny will probably be watching UFC 254 tomorrow night, all things considered, because it's that's just who he is. He's a very positive guy and going through a lot. So appreciate you saying that, Jose. And we're out of here. All right. Preview show is done. We appreciate you guys joining us for a very special edition. This is not going to happen all the time, but we figured for a card of this magnitude, we got to do it. We have to do it. So for Alex K. Lee, Casey Lydon, Jose Youngs, get some sleep, my man. I am Mike Heck. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andre Koreshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.